I mentioned this morning that tonight I'm going to speak on the subject, praying moms, praying moms. We mentioned this morning things that we could learn from the five mothers that we looked at in the Bible this morning. We looked at one that taught us every child is a gift from God. We looked at another that taught us that every child is born with a purpose. We looked at another that taught us that we need to protect our children from Satan and the world. We looked at another that even when our children mess up, don't give up. Don't quit. If they've quit, don't you quit. And then we looked at a grandmother and a mother that taught us a lesson that our children are going to live out our faith. And so we need to pass to them our faith. And of course, if we were going to, round out the characteristics of a mother, one of the things that you would add to those five things, five lessons that we talked about this morning, would be prayer. Would be a mother that knows how to pray, knows how to get a hold of God, and knows how to get things from God. And so tonight we're going to look at two of them. We read about one of them. It's a familiar story. It's recorded there in Matthew. It's also recorded in the book of Mark, chapter 7. In Mark, it tells us that this woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And as it says here in Matthew, it says over in Mark as well, that her daughter was possessed by a devil. She came to Jesus for help. And she said, I need you to help my daughter. I want you to cast out the devil. I want you to make her better. And as we read in Matthew, Jesus ignored her. I mean, here she was, pouring out her heart to him, begging him to help her daughter. And just an uncharacteristic, by the way, of our master, he just ignored her. The disciples came to him and said, hey, this lady is really bothering us because she's following us and she's crying after us. And would you just ask her to go away? Would you just send her away? And she wouldn't go away. And finally, Jesus said, look, you're not a Jew. I wasn't sent to the Gentiles. I wasn't sent to your people. And I can't help you. Again, you're not one of the chosen people of God. You're not a Jew. In fact, the Jews thought about people like this lady that they were the lowest part of society. And that's why Jesus said it's not meant to take the bread that's meant for the children and give it to the dogs. And in effect, he was calling her a dog. And the Jews back then thought that anybody that wasn't a Jew was as low in society as a dog was. And he said, it's not right. I can't take what was meant for the children, the Jews, and give it to a dog. And the lady said, yes, Master, I know I'm not a Jew. And I know you weren't sent to help people like me. But even the dogs get to sit underneath the table. And when one of the children drop a crumb, they get to eat up that crumb. And Jesus looked at her and said, oh, woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. I preached one other time on this passage of Scripture, and I entitled that message, How a Mother Got a Blank Check from Jesus. And that's what he gave her. He said there, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. He just signed a check and said, hey, go ahead and fill it out. Whatever you want. And she said, the only thing I want is my daughter to be better. I want the devil to go out of my daughter. And the Bible says her daughter was made whole from that very hour. From that very hour. Now, if you still have your Bibles, I want you to turn back to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. We're going to read about another mother that needed something from God, who went to God's man, went to Elisha, and got something from him. For her daughter. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. 2 Kings chapter 4, 13. This was a lady that had taken Elisha into her home and was very kind to him, gave him a place to stay and a place to sleep and a place and food to eat every time he came through the city. And so he called his servant, and in verse 13 of 2 Kings chapter 4 it says, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, that thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, Elisha's servant said, Elisha said, and he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, this is Elisha's servant, "Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old." And he said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid." And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he said to the lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, 'Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me." Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. Two Gentile mothers, one with a daughter, one with a son. They both needed something from God, and they came to God. The mother with the son came to the man of God, to Elisha. The mother with the daughter came to God via Jesus, his son. They both got what they wanted. In one case, the devil was cast out of the daughter. In the other case, a son was brought back to life, was raised from the dead. And I can't help but think, but there are people here tonight, maybe some mothers, maybe some dads, maybe some children, some friends, some brothers, sisters, that are here tonight that need something from God. Not for themselves, but for somebody else. For maybe one of their children, or for maybe their parents, or for maybe a friend or a neighbor, or a nephew or a niece. Chris mentioned to me this morning that it'd be Helen's niece or nephew, right, Chris? Chad was in a car accident. He joined the service about 2 weeks ago and was getting ready to go, and he was in a car accident and broke some bones, and we need to pray for him. And another lady mentioned to me this morning about her sister who's trying to commit suicide, and just her life is all messed up, and she asked me to pray for her sister. And I'm sure there's others here tonight that you might have not mentioned it to anybody, but there's somebody in your life that needs something from God, that needs God to work in their life. And tonight, I want to encourage you by reminding you that we still have a God that answers prayer. We still have a God that, in answer to our prayers, will do great and mighty things. Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And I think there's three things that we can learn from these two mothers. And again, on Mother's Day, it's always good to learn from mothers. And I think there's three things that we can learn from these two mothers that had a need, not a need for themselves, but a need for their children, and how they got that need by going to God and getting that need met. So, again, three things. Number one, When all odds are against you, when all hope is gone, when from a human perspective you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, pray on. Pray on. Pray on. One mother was ignored by Jesus. He called her a dog. He said, I can't help you. You're not a Jew. I mean, the disciples wanted to send her away. The odds were stacked against her. I mean, she had no right to make a claim on Christ. She had no right to ask Jesus to help her daughter. The other mother, her son was dead. And back in those days, dead was dead. I mean, when you were dead, you were dead. I mean, there was no hope. I mean, Jesus had not come on the scene yet. He had not raised the widow's son of Nain or Jairus' daughter or Lazarus. And people could point back, well, he did it. He did it, so maybe I have hope. Maybe my son can live again. That had not happened. Peter hadn't raised Dorcas yet. That happens over in the New Testament. Paul hadn't raised that boy that fell asleep when he was preaching and fell out of the window and got killed. That hadn't happened yet. Tells you, and I won't mention any names, tells you why you ought not to go to sleep in church when the preacher's preaching. Just never know what might happen. That hadn't happened yet. I mean, all that was going to happen in the future. Jesus hadn't died and come back from the dead yet. I mean, there was no precedent for anybody coming back from the dead. I mean, from a human standpoint, this mother that went to Elijah and said, my son is dead, had nothing to base her hope on. Because nobody had ever died and come back from the dead before. And yet she came to Elisha and said, my son's dead. My son is dead. This lady came to Jesus that wasn't a Jew and said, my daughter is possessed with the devil. I'd like you to come and cast him out. And again, Jesus ignored her. Again, two mothers that had very little hope. Two mothers that couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Two mothers that did not know what they were going to do, and yet they came to God and asked for help. They prayed on. Tonight, you may have circumstances in your life, or there may be circumstances in the life of somebody that you love, that you know, that you're praying for, that you're concerned about, that you can't see how God's going to work. You just can't see how he's going to work it out. You can't see what he's going to do to fix the situation. And from a human perspective, from what the doctors say or from what other people say, there is no hope. I mean, nobody's ever been cured from this before. Nobody's ever come back from this before. And you're wondering, what are you going to depend on? What hope do you have? And I would just remind you tonight and encourage you tonight, pray on. Pray on. We've got a God that knows how to do the impossible. You can't read this book very long at all. You can't read this book many times at all without realizing that we do have a God that can do what man cannot do. We do have a God that does things that man does not expect. We do have a God that can do the impossible. We sang that little chorus, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. And so tonight, do you have a friend? Do you have a child? Do you have a parent? Do you have somebody in your life that needs something from God? And from your perspective, it looks like it's impossible? Pray on. Pray on. Pray on. Don't give up. Don't stop. Number two, grab a hold of God and don't let go. Just grab a hold of him and don't let go. You know, it would have been easy for this little girl's mother to be discouraged. It would have been easy for her to just walk away from Jesus and say, he's not going to help me. I mean, he ignored me. His disciples tried to drive me away. He called me a dog. He said I was just like an animal. And it would have been easy for her to say, I might as well leave. He's not going to help me. But here's what she said. I'm not going to leave until you help me. I'm not going to leave. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to keep begging. I'm going to keep not arguing, but I'm going to keep giving you my side of the story until you help. The young man's mother. I mean, again, back in that day, dead was dead. What was she basing her hope on? And yet she says in verse 30, I will not leave thee. She had, just get the picture. She had her hands and arms around Elisha's feet, and she says, I'm not leaving till you come with me. I find it interesting because she used Elisha's words against him. Because when Elijah was getting ready to go to heaven, you remember the story? Elijah was getting ready to go to heaven. He was going to go to heaven in a fiery chariot. And Elisha was with him. And here, let me just read some from 2 Kings chapter 2. And Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, stay here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Notice what the lady says, this mother says, in verse 30 of 2 Kings chapter 4. And the mother of the child says, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Elisha wanted to be there when Elijah went to heaven. Elijah wanted to see that, so he says, you can tell me to wait here, and you can tell me to wait here, and you can tell me to wait here, but as God liveth and as you liveth, I'm not leaving you. Wherever you go, I'm going. I'm grabbing hold and I'm hanging on for all I'm worth. If you're going someplace, I'm going someplace. And this lady, again, who had no hope, who did not know what she was asking for, because what she was asking for had never, ever been done before in the history of the earth. Never, ever. And she came and grabbed a hold of Elisha, and she said, hey, it's a good thing that you sent your servant. And it's a good thing that you sent your rod. I mean, maybe Elisha was expecting that when his servant laid that rod on the body of that child, that that child will come back to life. And that lady said, I'm glad you sent your servant, and I'm glad you sent your rod. But I tell you what, I'm not leaving till you go with me. I'm not letting go of your feet until we go to my house. And Elisha said, okay, let's go. Let's go. You know, sometimes God wants us to grab a hold of Him and not let go. Just not let go. Sometimes He treats us just like Jesus treated that lady. It seems like He ignores us. We pray and pray and pray and pray. We don't get an answer. Nothing happens the way we expect it to happen. Nothing happens what we're hoping for. And it just seems like our prayers don't get past the ceiling and God just ignores us. And sometimes God is just testing us. Sometimes God just wants to see, how bad do you really want it? How much are you concerned? How much do you really want help in this person's life? And sometimes He's just looking for us to do like that lady did around Elisha's feet, for us to grab on and hang on and say, I'm not leaving. I'm not letting go until you help. Until you help. Until you help. I'm not letting go. So grab hold. Just grab hold of the promises of this book. Grab hold of the God of this book. Grab hold and say, God, my friend or my son or my daughter or my husband or my wife needs something that's beyond all human hope. I don't even know what I'm asking for. I don't have the answer. But I'm not letting go until you work and do what only you can do. Number three, all we're asking for is a crumb. All we're asking for is a crumb. Listen, God created the world. He spoke the world into existence. He divided the waters from the waters and made the heavens above and the earth beneath. He gathered all the waters together and dry land appeared. And then every tree and plant that grows on the earth, He made. He spoke it into existence. I mean, every fish and every whale and every bird that's in the oceans and in the sky, He spoke and they came into existence. Every bug. I mean, thousands and thousands of bugs. I mean, we only see part of them. But just listen, every bug and every ant and every cricket and every cow and every horse and every giraffe and every animal that you can think of, God spoke into existence. Like we talked about this morning, he took a bunch of dirt and made it into mud and made man and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And you think of the power that exists in our God to speak the world into existence. I mean, we say like David when we look at the moon and the stars, what is man that thou art mindful of him? I mean, just look to the heavens and say, what a mighty, powerful God that we have. And your need and my need compared to the power that God has is just a crumb. It's just a crumb. Your need and my need compared to what God has in his storehouse is just a crumb. It's just a crumb. Your need and my need when it's compared to the omnipotent power, the all-powerful God. And when we go to him with our need, even though from our perspective it may seem impossible, even though from our perspective we don't know what we're asking for, when it's compared to what God has, it's just a crumb. It's just a crumb. I mean, we're not even scraping the surface of the power of God. He can help us and he can do things with just a little bit of his power. And all we're asking for is just a crumb. And so we go to God and we say, God, I don't need you to use all the power that you used when you created the world. I don't need you to use all the power when you made all the animals and all the fish and the birds. I don't need you to use all the power you have when you made us, when you made man and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. I don't need all that power. I just need a little bit. Just a little bit. I don't want the whole loaf. I don't even want, I don't want the slice in the middle. I don't even want the heels. You know, the heels are the last thing that's eaten. I like heels. They're good. But I don't even want the heel. All I want is just one little crumb. Just one little crumb of your power. And many a son and many a daughter and many a man and many a woman, many a grandchild, many a friend, many a parent have been saved and their lives changed because somebody went to God on their behalf and said, all they need is just a little crumb. Just a little bit of your power. I'm not asking for much. I just want to be like the dog that sits underneath the table and when the child drops a little scrap, be able to eat it. That's all I want. That's all I want. So you know somebody tonight that needs something from God? You know somebody tonight that has a problem that if it was left up to you, you can't figure out how to solve it because you can't figure out what to do. Go to God. Pray on. Pray on. Don't give up. Pray on. Grab a hold of them. Don't let go. And just ask for that little crumb. I'm reminded of that verse in Romans chapter 8, and I can't quote it, but it says something like this. It says, God gave us freely his own son to die on our place. To die in our place. Why won't he give us anything we ask? If he gave us his own son to die in our place, to die for our sins, anything else we ask is just a crumb. Just a crumb. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this blessed truth that comes from your book. And I pray tonight, everybody probably has somebody in their life that needs something from you. If we were to go up and down the room, probably just every single person could think of something. Think of someone that has a special need, a hard need, an impossible need. And I pray, Father, tonight we will be reminded by these two Gentile mothers of what kind of God we have. The power of prayer and what can happen in answer to prayer. And so I pray tonight that we'd pray on and we wouldn't give up. We keep praying. We grab hold of you and have the determination to stay, even when it seems like you're ignoring us. We'd have the determination to stay and ask for that crumb, for that little bit of power that somebody else needs in their life. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, they would understand they're a sinner, the penalty for that sin, separation from you. But then when Christ went to the cross, he went and paid for all of our sin. And if they'd simply come tonight and receive him, you'd forgive them of their sin, give them a home in heaven. And just if there's just one tonight, Father, that's not sure, I pray you'd help them to come. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient as you speak. If we need to do something tonight, help us to do it. We'll be sure Jesus gets all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.